Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, wherever you happen to be, wherever you're traveling, whatever you're doing. We're grateful to have you tuning in. Today, we're going to look again at the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, the beginning of Jesus' ministry in the region of Galilee. We looked at two of the healing encounters he had last week, and now we're going to look at this moment where the demands, to heal people were pressing in on him and overwhelming him a bit, and Jesus has to decide what will his core mission and ministry be. So as you prepare your hearts for the word that will be offered to you, I invite you to listen to our dear friend Daniel Carmel from the shores of the Sea of Galilee and Capernaum, where this story takes place that I'll be reading to you in a few moments. I keep playing a bit of Daniel's music that toggles between Hebrew and English, because with so few tourists and visitors making their way to Israel, a lot of those folks feel forgotten. And this is just a way for me personally, and maybe for you, even though you've probably never met Daniel, to remember him and his mission and ministry and the many people whose lives have really ground to a halt in many ways, certainly business lives during this time of conflict and war. So enjoy this anthem that Daniel will offer, I Could Sing of Your Love, first in Hebrew and then in English.
Ahavatcha be'shirai Be some
אולי זה קצת מוגזם כשישר הראו את האור הרקדו כולם לבורא עולם מעבר להרים בים אהבתך כזרם חם אפתח ליבי באור גדול ישרור אז בעולם עושה האור שבעיניי הורד על מיתרי חיי לנצח רק אשיר על חום אהבתך אליי I could sing of your love forever I could sing of your love forever I could sing of your love forever I could sing of your love forever
So Daniel's boat that we take out on the Sea of Galilee picks us up just a few hundred meters south of where this story takes place in Capernaum. And last week we read the story of Jesus preaching in the local synagogue in Capernaum and then being encountered by this man with an unclean spirit and he casts out the demon. And that's what brings us to the Gospel of Mark chapter 1, verse 29. It says, as soon as they, and that's Jesus and the disciples, left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, at sunset, they brought all to Jesus who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city gathered around the door, and Jesus cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. Now in the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said, "Everyone is searching for you." But Jesus answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that, the proclamation of the message, that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord God, we ask that somehow through this time together, your spirit might speak and we might be moved to understand you and your ways and your will for us more deeply and completely. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Now, there are few passages of scripture that I have reflected upon more than the passage we just read. And there's two reasons. First, there's a 7-hour time difference between God's acre and Israel. So on pilgrimage, we usually arrive in Galilee in the evening that first day. And after sleeping on the flight over, I personally always find myself wide awake in the wee hours of those first few mornings. I used to early on in my pilgrimages, I used to fight the jet lag, you know, kind of, I got to get my sleep when I'm leading a group. But now, you know, I just go with it. And I encourage others to do the same. If you're wide awake in the middle of the night by the Sea of Galilee, do what Jesus did. Get up, go outside, survey the stars, soak in the silence, and pray your heart out. I always imagine Jesus praying on a nearby hill when I'm wide awake in the middle of the night in Galilee. And the second reason I think a lot about this passage of Scripture is that Jesus said, or we get the sense that Jesus was being pursued, right? I don't know if you picked that up in the text, but have you ever felt pursued, perhaps, I don't know, by the demands placed upon you? People want a piece of you, or they want something from you, or your schedule is so jam-packed that it's as if the next activity on your calendar is in hot pursuit. See, I think this is a perfect scripture for any person of faith who finds themselves up way too early in the morning, and also for anyone who's ever felt hunted, as the scripture says, hunted by the daily demands of life. So, chapter 1, Gospel of Mark, the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. Jesus had gathered some disciples at this point. He's made his way to worship in the seaside town of Capernaum. And then, as we read last week, he healed a guy during that service at the local synagogue. And then, As soon as evening fell, which means the Sabbath was over, the entire town made their way to the house in which Jesus was staying. It says the whole city, which in first century would have been about 1,500 people, were gathered around the door. And Jesus cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. So Jesus came to town, and within, a matter of days, he became the celebrity healer. He stayed up all night long curing infirmities and casting out evil spirits. We then learn that Jesus was up very early the next day, while it was still dark. So he was up early, and he found a deserted place to pray. What do you think his prayer was? I mean, this is chapter one of his ministry, and already he's getting swept up and maybe even swept away in the needs and desires of the community who he's making his home. So what do you think his prayer was? Maybe, what am I supposed to do, Lord? Who am I supposed to be? Prayers, I know you and I have prayed in different seasons of our lives, particularly when we're feeling a little overwhelmed. See, Jesus didn't go to Capernaum to heal people. No, he went to teach, to gather students, to make disciples. As the sun broke over the Galilean hills, it says those very disciples hunted for Jesus and said everyone was searching for him. Why? What did everyone want? Another sermon? Well, maybe, but more likely for Jesus to be their on-demand miracle worker, right? So after some early morning prayer, Jesus seemed to have a renewed focus on his primary task. The disciples said, everyone's searching for you. We've got work to do. And Jesus responded by saying, let us go to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that's that proclamation and the message. That is what I came out to do. So after a long prayer session with the Lord, Jesus had clarity about his purpose. The people of Capernaum might have wanted Jesus to be their healer, but Jesus was called to be a teacher. And he, in this moment, was resolved. It was time to move on from Capernaum to continue to teach in Galilee. Now, I love that the translation in the NRSV version of the Bible says that Jesus' disciples were hunting for him. Hunting for him. I imagine we've all had times when we felt hunted by the daily demands of our really busy lives. I mean, most of us have had the experience of being aggressively pursued. We've got work demands and social demands, scheduling demands, family demands, that internal need or desire or impulse that won't let us rest, whatever it may be. Now, I want to say it's not always a bad thing. You can be pursued because you do something really well, right? Your competency can cause people to hunt for you in order to compel you to do what would be helpful for them. The expectations of others can be caused by our own competency. People wanted Jesus to be their healer because guess what? He was good at it. And by the way, making people well is a good thing. But sometimes the desires of others and even the good work or beneficial activities they want us involved in can begin to crowd out our true calling. So, how do we break free from unhelpful expectations or unrelenting activities? What do we do when we feel hunted and pursued? Particularly in those instances when what demands our time and attention are good things and well-intentioned people. Well, according to this passage of Scripture, you've got to get away to a deserted place. I mean, as a pastor, I feel this. I remember early on, I found a little park up in Pound Ridge that nobody visited, and for whatever reason, was almost completely silent. And I would go there on busy days and just walk to just have some time to pray and have some solace and some separation from all the demands of my day. And I remember when Eric Dupuy was here, he was starting to get overwhelmed by all the work of this place that we affectionately refer to as God's Acre. And I told him about it, but I said, don't let anybody else know about this particular trail because there's nobody on it and we want to maintain that ability to have that separation and that solace. So you've got to get away to a deserted place, whatever that place may be. You have to have some time and space for separation and distance. You need quiet time to be alone, frankly, with your own thoughts and with God. You got to pray your heart out when no one else is clamoring for your attention. Jesus's true calling, his central calling, was to teach. But I think if he didn't steal away from the crowds and head for the hills from time to time, I suspect the people who needed him would have likely carried him and his life and his mission away. Jesus might have become a notable miracle worker in Capernaum, but he might have missed out on his primary calling, to be teacher and ultimately savior of the world. We've got Pivot Guys singing in our 10 o'clock service, and I was thinking about them recently. And, you know, Pivot is itself, in a way, a deserted place. I mean, there's plenty of guys there, but it's a place of separation. You know, the guys at Pivot had to get away and get there. They had to separate from their old lives, from certain unhelpful relationships, from unhealthy ways of living. They had to get that separation to go to Pivot, to be in that deserted place, to have a sense, to begin to get a sense of God's purpose for them. I mean, the truth is, we are all confused from time to time, or most of the time, about life and how we're supposed to live. For some of us, that confusion is born from what seems to be too few options before us. We've gotten to the end of our rope or the bottom of the barrel, and we just don't know what to do. For others, the confusion is the result of what is often termed the tyranny of choice. We have so many options before us, we don't know how to decide or how to set limits. I was talking to a beloved church member the other day who said something that I've heard so many times before. I was told that the family had to cut back on church involvement because of all the kids' extracurricular activities. And I get that. I don't judge. But what if church is your place of refuge and retreat, where you hear words and are offered encouragement and instruction you don't get anywhere else? I mean, what if our sanctuary is your deserted place? And you know, it's interesting. A sanctuary is a place of refuge. And if you think of a wildlife sanctuary, it's a place where predators are controlled and hunting is illegal. So we've got this passage where Jesus is being hunted, and sanctuary is that place where hunting is not allowed. So maybe the sanctuary, when you are here at God's Acre, is your place of refuge, where for an hour or so each week, you don't need to do anything other than sit back, relax, be still, be silent, and receive. I mean, you don't want to miss out on that. So after a morning of prayer in a deserted place, Jesus had a renewed sense of purpose and direction, and quite literally, he said, "Let's go to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do." Now, notice, if you know anything about the Gospels, Jesus didn't do less after his early morning conversation with God. No. Refraining from meeting the needs and expectations of the people pursuing him didn't limit his ministry. No, Jesus wound up doing more. His call expanded. You see, sometimes, and this is important, sometimes you've got to say no. In fact, you've got to say no to something good in order to say yes to God's expansive and extraordinary call on your life. In these early morning prayer sessions, Jesus was focused. His focus was restored, and he was reminded that his life was to be directed by God and not by the most insistent caller. God does not call us to be quivering masses of availability, as the old theologian Stanley Hauerwas used to chide many of us who were his students. See, there is work for you to do in the world, no matter what stage of life you're in. There is a mission God has created you for and is calling you to. There is a deeply satisfying way of living where your unique abilities and the world's great needs intersect. And the secret, you might even have a sense of what God is calling you to do and who God is calling you to be. I mean, that happens for us. We actually internally have a sense of who we're called to be. We can almost feel it welling up within us. But the clamor and chaos caused by all the demands placed upon us and all the activities and engagements we foist on ourselves, all that makes it very difficult to discern sometimes. We can miss our calling because of all our commitments. However, if we follow the example of Jesus, if we steal away from the crowds when we sense we're about to be carried away by them, if we find a deserted place to pray, if we dare to disappoint people from time to time in order to please the Lord, if we're willing to say no every once in a while in order to say yes to the Spirit prompting within us, well, if we do those things, if we follow Jesus in his way in this passage of Scripture, we will hear the still small voice of the Lord speak to us. We will receive the direction we desire. We will be led to the work we're meant to do. We will find, as Jesus did, clarity in the midst of the clamor. Let's pray. Lord God, there's so much that we're involved in, and so much of it is good. But sometimes in the midst of the goodness or too much of a good thing, we might start to miss out on your call on our lives, that work that you want us to do that is particular to us in our gift set. So Lord God, help us to steal away to the deserted places so that we might have a better sense of who you are, who we are in relationship to you, and to the work you desire for us to do, no matter what stage of life we may be in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, church family, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with kindness and give you peace now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.